Okay, my name is Lisa Nathan. I'm with the Information School at the University of Washington, and I'd like to thank you so much for your participation today. And to begin, I would like you to say your name, your country of origin, and your title here at the ICTR.
I am Suzanne Chenu. I am from the United States, and I am a legal officer and juris linguist.
Thank you. Could you walk me through your timeline here, the year you first came, and if you have had different roles, what the titles, what those different jobs have been, and the time frame that up until today?
I arrived here in August 8th, 1999, as a juris linguist in chambers, and my position, the title, has remained the same, and my functions have expanded. And they've varied quite extensively over this period of time, because we're talking actually 9 years, a little bit more than 9 years. It'll be 10 years in August 2009.
Thank you. So I'd like to go back in time a little bit to the spring of 1994. And do you remember where you were? Can you describe to me what you were doing at that point in time when the events in Rwanda were going on?
I was a Fulbright scholar in Romania, and I was aware of what was happening in Rwanda, because I had first been aware of what was happening so very close to Romania in the former Yugoslavia. And my first thought was, this is very fearful. I mean, this is a frightening situation. And I was initially concerned for the security of the students that I was working with in Romania. I was in Transylvania, I was in Cluj, and I was also in a city called Arad, which is, if you take the train through down into Bucharest, and then you go into, you're very, very close. And so that was my immediate concern. And then what was happening in Rwanda seemed to be, if you will, kind of like the long arm of, or the ripple effect of countries that were feeling a tension that, unfortunately, I didn't understand entirely, although I had understood that it was ethnic in origin.
Thank you. Can you, so from that time in 1994, when you were a Fulbright scholar, somehow you progressed, and a few years later, you found yourself here in Arusha. Can you tell me how you began to work here? What was that story?
I was at an international law conference, and it was in Washington, D.C., and I met someone who had been a juris linguist here. It was just by chance I met this person. I think it was at a function, and I introduced him to a colleague who had come with me, somebody with whom I practiced law. I was practicing law and I was also teaching simultaneously, and she was most interested, and she understood that there were a number of representatives of the present Rwandan government. And as is her wont, she, the next day, after understanding who was there and that there was what was happening in the tribunal, she convened all of these different representatives. And I remember that there was a penthouse place to have breakfast. And she's just very good at orchestrating all of these events. And she was meeting with them, and she was conducting the meetings. And it wasn't long after this. This must have been September. I think it was in April, early April, that she was appointed deputy registrar. And I was shocked. And then she said, you know, there's this position as juris linguist. You'd be perfect for it. And I nodded my head, and I said, well, all right, I'll submit an application, because I had been, since I was 20, desirous to work for the UN. And as an American, that is usually no easy task. there has been, I've understood, I haven't actually studied the statistics, but there is a quota system. And so I do understand it's not easy to be employed as an American, and then to be employed as an American and a lawyer, and to work in a situation like this was an absolute excellent opportunity that I had never before envisioned. But then I began to work after being named to this position in August. It was 1999.